Did anyone here give up anything for Lent? Mary? Mona? A few folks? It's the first thing a lot of us associate with Lent, though, isn't it? Whether we do it or not. You give up things for Lent. You eat fish on Friday. Even if you don't, you see all of the commercials. That was actually the first clue Sarah and I both had. Don't get me wrong, I knew Lent was coming. But we were watching something and we noticed all of these fish commercials coming up. Like, oh yes, Lent. That's important for some folks there. I don't personally give things up for Lent. I just haven't. It's just not been a practice of mine over the years. I don't have any good examples of my own. Although I always think back to two of my favorites, one of which was the year, was it cookies that you gave? One year Sarah decided to give up cookies, and that was the year she realized that the Girl Scouts do their cookie stuff during Lent. And that was unfortunate. And another year, my mother-in-law gave up caffeine. And she was told by her daughter she was not allowed to do that again. And this year, I'm sure some of you may have heard this before, but let's face it, this year, Pope Benedict XVI, I mean, he set the bar really high. Because, you know, he's giving up the papacy, apparently, for Lent. No, I thought that was funny. Thank you. Lent is a time of preparation. It is a time of contemplation. That is the idea behind giving things up for Lent. At Lent, it is to help us focus on Christ, his death, and his resurrection. Lent and Easter, of course, are the true center of the Christian faith. It is at the cross where God is made known, where God is revealed. Easter is the oldest Christian festival day, which makes sense. Christmas is nice, don't get me wrong. The birth of Jesus is wonderful. But it's not his humble childhood that truly mattered. It was not his teenage years that his disciples gathered together to share stories about. It was his ministry. It was his death. And of course, it was his resurrection. Those were notable. Today, Luke tells us about an early experience in Christ's ministry. Just after his baptism by John, where he has his confrontation with the devil and the temptations that ensue. He has spent 40 days in the Middle Eastern wilderness, in the desert. It's hot, dry. He's undoubtedly windburnt, thirsty, starving. He is vulnerable. And it is in the midst of that that the devil comes to him. Now, during the baptism of Christ, we heard the words spoken aloud and announced, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." But the devil doesn't seem to care about that or recognize that in the story today. So, let me get this straight. You are the Son of God? Really? Are you sure? Because if you're not, things are about to get really awkward. I tell you what, I have a great idea. We'll just do a couple little tests. If you truly are the Son of God, trust me. It'll be better for everyone if we just check things out first. Lent is a time of preparation and contemplation for us. And Christ's time in the wilderness was certainly both for him. But why these three temptations? And why these three responses by Christ? You're hungry. Command these stones to become bread. One does not live by bread alone. Worship me, and you will have ultimate power. Worship the Lord your God, and serve only God. Throw yourself down, and God will protect you from harm. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's a proof texting battle. I hate proof texting. But they're flinging scripture back and forth at each other. Ha ha, look what I've found. Ha ha, I have a rebuttal. What is going on in this confrontation? Why these three challenges? What do they have in common? They are questions ultimately about Christ's identity. Questions casting doubt on the claims made in Christ's baptism. Questions implying that he is less than the Son of God. And yet, I would submit to you that they are also questions that we ask ourselves. Questions that we demand of each other. Do I belong to God or not? Does your identity come from God or not? Are we children of God or not? I hear it when I visit people. It's almost never said in those exact words. But you hear it in things like people talking about how I'm a sinner. I am nothing. I've made mistakes. I've followed the wrong path. I've made bad choices. I don't matter. I've been tempted. I've tried to live alone. I strive for power and give myself and my way in the process. I test God. I make demands of God. I test and I doubt God's power and God's goodness. I've failed. Or sometimes when I talk to people, they don't use I language, it's they language. Them language. Those people language. Those people are sinners. They are hopeless. They don't matter. Their priorities are wrong. They aren't really Christians. God can't possibly call them children of God. In Lent, we are offered a time to ponder God's claim on us and on those around us. We are offered a time to examine our lives, to strive to let God back into the center of them, back where God belongs. We are offered a chance to claim our identity as God's children. Think about what the devil does. He attacks Christ's humanity with his offer of bread. He attacks his divinity with his offer of power. And he attacks his faith. Well, guess what? Each and every one of us are attacked and tempted every day in no less real a way. We are tempted by possessions. We are tempted by desires, by doubts, by fears, by pretenders to God's throne in our hearts. Today, Deuteronomy speaks of giving God our first fruits. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. And obviously, the main point in that reading has to do with stewardship, with giving to God our first fruits of our possessions, our time, and our talents. And that's good. That's important. And remember that at the offering. I was kidding. It was a slight joke. It fell flat right there. Mental note. But we're talking about first fruits. Perhaps one of the first fruits we can give God this Lent is our trust, our faith, especially in the face of temptation, our faith that God continues to be with us even at our lowest, even when we are tempted by earthly bread, tempted by worldly power, tempted by just plain old doubt. Even then, God will send the Holy Spirit to fill us, to guide us, to walk us through our own wilderness and into a new life lived in Christ and with each other. If you want to give up something this year for Lent, that is fine and that is dandy, and I would recommend you go for it because it can be a wonderful spiritual practice. But when you make your list of things to give up, Keep in mind this important truth. Whatever happens in your life, God will never give up on you. Let us pray. Holy, good, and gracious God, you have blessed us in so many ways. You guide us, you walk with us, you share your spirit with us. Help us to be aware of your presence. Help us to have faith and trust in you, to recognize you even in our times of doubt and uncertainty. Help us to know that you are all things. We pray this, God, giving thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.